Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. With Jade and Dave, at the top of the show, we played Teeth and Tongue, Unfamiliar Skirts.
Jade, I'm still drying off from Kylie last night.
In what sense, Dave? Okay,
no.
That sounds dirty. Don't go there.
I mean, I got wet. I wasn't even supposed to get wet. Like, I thought I had, you know, planned everything. I'm not going to get wet
there
when I see Kylie.
There's some splash zone.
There was a splash zone situation.
It's like going to some sort of aquarium and seeing a whale or, you know.
Or a dolphin.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Kylie's more like a dolphin. She's not a whale.
Okay.
Yeah. But so basically, I went to the very first Melbourne showing of her Aphrodite Lair Follies show last night.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I didn't get to go to the splash zone because the splash zone is, I think you have to pay like $600 to be in a splash zone.
Okay.
And girl, you don't even get wet the whole time. Let me just say, if you're going to the splash zone, you do get probably the better view in a house, but you don't get wet the whole time, just at the end. But then again, if you stand close enough to people at the splash zone, which we were, you get wet too.
Okay.
Jade, I have to say, that Kylie show has to be the best concert I've ever been to. I know a lot of queens are fangirling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people were kind of like, damn, this is huge. It's elaborate. There's water features. There's, you know, giant video screens. But for me, one of the main highlights of the night was when she did your favorite, Confide in Me.
Yes.
See, I love Confide in Me. I love it that in the last two tours, she's been doing it with sort of like an orchestra backing or something with that kind of rich, lush sound. Because, you know, Confide in Me has those massive strings, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But not to spoil it for you or anyone, but there's a new arrangement of Confide in Me on this tour. And it's kind of like very Cybertronian electronica.
Has she ruined it for me, Dave? Am I going to appreciate the new version of Confide in Me?
You're not going to appreciate the new version of Confide in Me because you don't like that kind of a sledgehammering dance beat
yes.
and all that.
See, the whole thing for me is that I like indie Kylie.
Okay. But this feels like, and later in the part of the song, how she's done Confide in Me sounds like indie Kylie version 2011. You know how a lot of indie artists nowadays are playing with synths. They're going for a more indie electro sound. That's kind of like Confide in Me gone indie electro for me anyway. That's what I felt.
Yep.
So look, it's for me, that's a great show, Jade. So I don't know if it's necessarily your thing. It might be not necessarily a camp and geek experience, but more of a camp experience.
Yeah.
The amount of like topless buff men you can see on the screen.
So the truth emerges about why it's such a good show.
And why I got wet.
Yeah. Well, see, and it's interesting, Dave, because it really demonstrates again to me, like, our perceptions of what makes a good show is so completely different because yours is...
I like the spectacle.
Yeah, it's such a spectacle. It is about the actual show, whereas mine is about like some sort of connection almost.
And intimacy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going there for connection with Kylie.
Yeah.
It's nice to have connection with Kylie. It's great if she looks in my direction. In fact, I can promise you, I was in her periphery because she talked to the guy that was standing
she
in front of me.
She has glanced upon you.
She might have glanced upon me like the time she might have glanced at my thumbnail picture on Twitter when she retweeted me.
Yeah, when you know, she does her own tweeting.
Yeah, yeah. Which Kylie does, okay? So don't start with me.
She does her own tweeting, yeah.
But I felt like, you know, I'm not going to a Kylie show to be friends with her.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to the Kylie show to experience all that jazz. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard. I do listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, we had a text come in.
Now, this one comes from the heart.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
It does. It is very confusing, though.
It is a little confusing because we want to do what you have messaged us to do, but
we don't know who you are.
We don't know who you are. So Anonymous would like to wish Anonymous's darling,
yeah,
Felicity, a happy 24th anniversary, as Anonymous knows that she will be listening in.
Yes.
So there you go, Felicity, you lucky girl, you. Get it. And we also had another text. Now, this one made my night.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, it's made my night. Jay, do you want to read out the message and tell our lovely listeners why this might have made my night?
Okay, so question for you two boys.
Pause right there.
Boys.
Yes, two boys. Yes,
yeah.
Pause right there. Night has been made.
Is one of you part of the two fat lattes from Wade?
Wade, which he signed off with two X's. So, yeah. Once again, from the heart, a place of love.
Yeah. Dave often gets mistaken for a girl.
And Jade, this is actually the first time
I've ever been mistaken for a boy.
This is just unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Mm-hmm. So, unprecedented.
Yes.
Congratulations, Wade.
There's a first for everything.
And no, we are not from the two fat lattes.
No, not even half of us. Not even a quarter of us.
Nah.
Like, there's no way you can slice up this cheesecake to go with the lattes.
Nah.
No, it's just not.
We don't even consider ourselves to be a speck on the
amazingness of the two fat lattes.
Exactly.
Let's just,
yeah,
not even go there, okay?
Yeah.
But you are listening to Different Strokes with Jade and Dave, a he and a she.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight, Jade, I feel that I could have an interest in this band. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love their voices as individual artists.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that when, say, you know, Sarah Blasco, Holly Throsby and Sally Seltman come together, there can be no wrong.
Yeah.
This can not be wrong. So tell me I'm right, Jade. Tell me this album is flawless.
Okay. Look, Dave, I'd been hearing a little bit about this for, you know, on and off for a long time. They've brought out this full, like, first off, total props to them for bringing out a full-length album. When you've seen these kinds of super groups, quote unquote, happen before, probably a good example in my realm would be the Bends.
Or when New Kids on a Block teamed up with Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, that's totally, you know, that's a super group. They tend to bring out EPs and sort of test the waters. They've gone all out, recorded a full album. And, you know, it's called Seeker Lover Keeper, the name of the actual band, so it's self-titled. I loved the melody of three women.
Oh, you better finish
together.
That sentence right. Yes.
And the way that they, you know, and just this kind of the harmonies that they had going, you know,
yep,
just the way that it was so
Destiny's Child-like.
Well, yeah, sure. And, you know, it's definitely moody Sunday afternoon music. It's very, like, very similar to the type of stuff that they release individually. It's very nostalgic. It's very angsty in its own way, but to the point, you know, that kind of I want and need love and I'm longing for love, but not in that kind of whiny, needy type way.
Okay, so you feel that this is an album for the heart.
Yes.
And it's I guess, a mellow record.
Yeah,
can say
it's
that.
Very, very mellow. Dave, to put it in your terms, it is a combo between Strummy Lala and Plinky Lala.
Strummy Lala and Plinky Lala.
Yes, there is.
Goodness.
It, at different points. So the whole concept of the album, Dave, is that, you know, these girls happened to meet up with each other at one point and started talking about the idea of, oh, maybe we could write songs for each other. Mm. And then it kind of got to a point where they said, oh, you know, let's not do that. How about we just start a band?
I think it's incredible because if you're so used to working as a solo artist, mm-hmm. I mean, for all these women in their own right, I mean, they would have definitely collaborated with people on their albums, but to do it as a trio,
yeah,
that says a lot about the friendship.
Well, and, you know, they did actually sing and workshop these songs together, and they actually live in different parts of Australia. So the album was recorded in New York, but they've kind of had to, you know, they did some workshopping and actually had to make time to sit together and meet up and like work through. So they did, to some degree, still stick to that concept of writing songs for each other, except instead of writing songs for each other, they're, you know, obviously all a part of that process.
Now, here's where I'm starting to think in a more business sense.
Mm-hmm.
Are all three of them signed to the same label?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, because I'm just like, whose idea was this? Was it the label's idea?
I'm
not that cynical.
Yeah, I don't know that it is, because the album's actually out through Due Process, so a smaller label.
And Sarah Blasco signed to a major.
I think she's on a major label from memory anyway. So I don't know that it's actually there, unless they're a subsidiary or whatever. I don't know. So I don't think we've got reason to be that sceptical.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave?
Look, I thought that with people like you and I, Jade, you see, we have a lot of social networking profiles.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of things that we're connected to. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would go as far as saying that maybe we are over-connected.
Oh, look, Dave, that's a bit rash and harsh. I don't think we're over-connected. I just think we're enthusiasts.
We're enthusiasts about the internet. We like to sign up for a bit of everything.
Oh, look, I feel like we have an obligation as part of this program to try everything out and let people know if it's worth it or not.
Absolutely. I mean,
whether that means I get addicted, well, that's the price I pay.
That's just a separate story.
Yeah.
But basically, look, there's a website called about.me that I stumbled on, and this is kind of like your personal homepage, except it kind of serves as a web directory for all the different social networking or all the different types of web profiles, online profiles that you might have.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about things like Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, Tumblr, the list goes on.
Your YouTube channel.
Your YouTube
channel. Any of your blogs.
Last.fm.
Yeah.
And such. So anything of that sort, you can actually link to this program. And what it does is it actually gives you your own page, so you can pick a background image, pick like a fancy font for your name, and, you know, it's like a personal homepage. It's like a business card almost for people to be able to go find your different profiles if you want them to, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing about this is that we talked about a website kind of similar to this, in fact, of the same family, I
Flavors.me.
would say. Flavors.me. Flavors.me, that's right. So we've touched on a website similar to this before, but I felt like Flavors.me was maybe a little beta, which in, I guess, technological terms means a little, I don't know, low rent.
Trial version.
Trial version. Mm-hmm. So, but this one was actually a lot more user-friendly than I thought.
Yep.
So it's a very simple process. You just go in, basically punch in like your you know, whatever Twitter username you have and Facebook or whatnot, and it stores it all on there in a nifty little icon on your page, and you can just click through to it.
Yep.
Whoever you want to share this page with, click through to it. Now, Jade, what I also noticed is that you can embed or import the feeds.
Yep.
So basically things like, for instance, your Twitter, you can have all your Twitter feed right on this page without having to leave it. So you can actually see that person's Twitter feed or blog as well. Because I have a blog, so I have the feed coming through here as well. But what do you think of it, Jade? I mean, I told you to go check it out this afternoon, and I think in a mad dash.
Yes. Look, I think from a management point of view, like, it's definitely good. I like that it integrates well, Dave. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I can just set it up. I like that, you know, it's obviously, I found with a lot of things that get set up, right, often they don't necessarily integrate well straight away. Like, you know, they'll have kind of these messy ways, really, of putting feeds together, where it seems like these guys have actually gone through the process of making sure they're an app that can be authorized through Facebook and Twitter and all of that. So it's like a direct, they're
so
getting
the functionality,
direct.
Yeah.
Yeah, from a functionality point of view. And it definitely, you know, one of the things that really irritates me when we check out these sites, and one of the sites we checked out a couple of weeks ago, just in terms of the slowness of the loading of things, I didn't experience that with. I always like to try them out at work, because I find at work, you know, when you're on a network, often it will run a bit slower and it's a bit more difficult to load. So I always will try and look at it at work and see how does it work
in a real world setting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, given that you know that most people look at that kind of stuff at work.
Do people actually do work at work?
Well, yes.
Interesting discussion topic.
Yeah.
But Jade, I mean, I felt like another thing with about.me is that, you know how with everything that you set up, whether it's a blog or mm-hmm. whether it's a Tumblr or whatever, if they give you an option with font, you're always stuck with a generic one, like mm-hmm. Arial, mm-hmm. Times New Roman, Georgia, all the cliched usual ones, mm-hmm. probably the word-based ones
yep.
that you get. Now, I found that with about.me, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. The fonts are actually custom made.
Yep.
It's, you know, designed by a proper typographist, I guess is what they're called. Mm-hmm. So all the fonts that you see here, all the default fonts that you can use here, are actually unique. So they don't, it actually gives your page that designer flavor without yeah. actually hiring a designer.
And you can do like a full, like with your background image, you can do a full image. You can, you know, they've got their custom ones.
And even their custom ones are so good.
Yeah. Like, you know, I found one that was videotapes, like old VHSs that, you know, with random geeky movies, you know, obviously recorded onto them. But you can actually go in and put your own image in, and it shows which you actually have, Dave. So it gives you that sort of bit, that extra bit of customization that you're actually looking for.
I mean, because if this is going to be your homepage, yeah. if this is going to be your directory, you're going to have, you need that control of how it looks. So I'm glad that that was there, but I'm also glad that on a very basic level, like if you don't have time to go and find the right picture in your gallery or go find the right font, it's already there. Like it can look good. Seriously, by just going in and doing it.
I think, you know, and I think these types of things will be interesting. I think we're at the very beginning of these types of tools because it's becoming so common to, you know, it's becoming more and more common for even employers to go and look at social media sites of that person as opposed to just your, you know, your resume now. So I think we're at the very beginning of seeing how these tools work, and I think more will sprout up over time.
And I think if you're a creative person, if you've got like a blog where your posts are getting put up, this is a convenient place. Or if you're a photographer and you've got like all these different Flickr accounts or
whatnot. I think it definitely, you know, I mean, it definitely works for people like us, Dave, because of the industries that we work in and, you know, because you kind of, you're expected to have those kinds of outside interests. And
it's like your portfolio is all housed here.
Yeah.
So there's that real vocational advantage. But, you know, I was just so impressed with the background image. I mean, a lot of it seems like, you know, really hipstery background images. Did you feel that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the film grain effect.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at this, I'm like, oh, them hipsters will be jumping.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to love this. So kudos for knowing your audience.
You must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, before we get started on An Idiot Abroad, I do have to tell you that after much nagging, I did finally give in and start watching The Good Wife.
The Good Wife?
Yeah.
Are you liking it so far?
You know, I like it. I'm not like you know what I mean? Like, I'm not,
I mean, it doesn't, wow. Yeah, it doesn't appeal to the geeky side. I mean, I know you like shows like Chuck.
Yeah.
30 Rock. It doesn't have that kind of humor. It's very drama.
It is very drama kind of, like, in a way, it kind of reminds me of, like, early ER. Almost, yeah. Like,
well, is it because of Julianne?
No, just in terms of like.
Come on, be honest.
Well, that, but I think also in terms of just, I mean, it's just the kind of, it's very, there's not much kind of almost quirk to it. It is very straightforward. You know exactly what you're getting from the show.
Well, I like The Good Wife, and I'm glad that you're finally recommendation of mine.
Yeah, so in any case, maybe that will inspire you to check out yet another recommendation of mine, a show called An Idiot Abroad, which is it's a travel documentary-style show, but very comedic in terms of, you know, the way it's all presented. So the star of the show is Carl Pilkington, who is kind of really more famous for being sort of the apathetic producer, or how he became known was the apathetic producer of Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's podcast show. And basically what happened is they had this podcast and longtime radio show in the UK, and over time they started to bring him in more and more because he has a very bizarre kind of sheltered almost view of the world and kind of just asks and says really, really kind of funny, bizarre things. You know, he doesn't really understand the way the world works very well. And, you know, they obviously find him very hilarious. I mean, you'll know Ricky and Stephen Merchant probably from, you know, they created The Office and Extras. So, among other things. But this series is all about, they decided that they wanted to send Carl off around the world to see the Seven Wonders. And so they send him off by himself. So he's not with, you know, I mean, obviously he has a camera crew with him, so they don't go with him. Ricky says very openly that it was just a big prank. Like, he wanted to make him do anything that he could possibly do effectively that would make him laugh, that would make Ricky laugh. So, he, you know, it's all a joke to him. You know, Stephen Merchant has more of a kind of holistic view of, can you send someone around the world and have them change their viewpoint? Does that actually give them, you know, a broader sense of, you know, the world and what's going on around them almost? Mm. And it's very funny to watch this guy who is so notoriously small-minded and whiny and not very curious or adventurous at all. And very, very happy in his comfort zone, knows what he likes, doesn't want to try new things, you know.
And he's having to try these new things. Like, he goes to what? China?
Yeah.
He goes to India.
He goes to Jordan. On the way to Jordan, they actually send him to Israel, you know, so he gets to go to Palestine as well. He goes off to Mexico. He's in Egypt. He's in Brazil. He goes to Peru. It's amazing to watch. I mean, just like the things that he is, I seriously learned a lot about those cultures through that experience. Just, I mean, I've never been to any of those places that he actually visited, but I learned so much about it from watching him and his experiences, because he's so absolutely baffled by things that he asks questions and he, you know, I mean, it is laugh out loud hilarious at points because he's just so, you know, he can't believe that this kind of thing happened. You know, he doesn't know where. And obviously Ricky is, you know, along the way they're trying to push him into sort of acting out almost. You know, Ricky will put him in the worst hotel. At one point he's in some... it was the most awful, awful youth hostel I've ever seen in my life. And
I've been
put him in a shared dorm.
It's one of those things that you really don't want to see somebody experience. Because yeah. I've traveled around China, parts of China,
mm-hmm.
and India. And I've done the hostels, the backpackers hostels, the youth hostels. Some of them are just... no.
Yeah.
It's a no.
Yeah.
And I think I would really like to see the show just to see how someone else reacts to it. Because I was traveling with someone. I was traveling with my then boyfriend who was very adventurous, completely happy to stay at scummy places. But he was also very aware that it was my first time doing anything of that nature. So I think I was spared a lot of it. So
I mean, and I just found it really interesting. Like he, even the point of, you know, because he didn't understand or had no concept of, you know, he was fascinated by the types of food that were getting eaten. You know, he had this driver that was basically eating in China who was eating an egg that was actually a fetus. Yeah.
No.
And that kind of.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it kind of. You know,
no,
to get that experience, and you know, just the looks on his face and the way his mind was, you know, there was this girl that was chomping down on some scorpions and grasshoppers.
Which I didn't try the scorpions and the grasshoppers, but I went to a place in China and I told myself, I need to try one of those crazy foods that you always see documented when people go to China. So I didn't try the scorpion. I had the option to, but I went for the seahorse.
Yeah.
Now, that's really not that bad. I mean, they could have really pushed me over the edge and said, hey, try a scorpion or a cricket or whatever kind of worm that was deep fried.
Okay.
But I went with the seahorse. So, you know, I feel like maybe you and I need to do a documentary like this.
Yeah.
I think it can be a Different Strokes Goes Global experience.
Well, you know, and I could relate in a lot of ways because he has a big thing about crowds. And, you know, as you know, Dave, I've said often, I don't think I could go to a place like China or India because of, like, I just get so anxious in big crowds. It just makes me so uncomfortable. Mm. You know, and he was just, he did not like the idea of
crowds
at all.
Damn.
And he, you know, they made him walk the entire Great Wall of China. And he actually, you know, he liked... Actually,
no, it's not possible to do all that, but anyway.
Yeah, he liked the non-touristy bit. Like, so they made him go, you know, he had to stop off at different places, you know, he helped make a coffin at some, you know, rant. He did so much great stuff. The second series is about to start. They've started filming it and it's due to be out later this year. And the plan is for it to be Things to See Before You Die, which is quite funny because during the entire first series, he kept saying on and on, I will not do a second series. I refuse to do a second series. And yet here he is. You can see it at the moment. It's on 1HD on television here. So it's on Monday nights.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.